Welcome to the best of the RSN Breakfast Club. Here's a little bit of what we did. Take a listen.
Well, good morning to you, Whitey.
Good morning. It is a very busy show. It's interesting. Today should be one of the biggest days in Australian golf for the year. It's the Perth Sixes in Perth, a European Tour sanctioned event, and it's done a little bit differently, and also the Australian Women's Open. It just can't get traction. Now, I know neither of the events are in Melbourne, and last week was solid with the Vic Open, but considering, I think, the enormity of the event inside the golf bubble, it didn't quite get the traction it should have. It's a bit the same with the golf this week, even though there are two big tournaments being played, and people that love golf are craving tournaments in this country to be co-sanctioned with the European Tour or the PGA Tour to get big names to come and play. Who was that? Was that me or you?
That was my computer.
The Antler luggage computer.
Morning, Sonny.
But it's just the reality is the Perth Sixers have not really been able to get any big names at all. The biggest name is Thomas Peters.
Is that because it's a non-traditional format?
I think that's probably got a little bit to do with it, even though the players have said they've enjoyed the format. I just think there's just this reluctance for the big names to fly down to Australia because apparently it's such a long way, even though it's only five movies.
Five movies. Well, it depends where you come from.
No, it's probably a few more, isn't it? Because they're coming from Europe as opposed to America. Anyway, why? I just thought I would just start with that. I've got some other big exciting news as well. But
we'll get to your exciting news. Adam Romanowskis is a part of the team on a Thursday and a Friday here in the Breakfast Club. He's back again, the former Bomber champ, these days manager to the stars. Morning, Roma.
Good morning. No music?
What sort of music?
Well, it was a famous victory. For myself.
Mate.
On
Saturday. No, hang on a sec.
Whoa.
I don't think you're aware of this either.
I'm not sure you've come across the latest information. Newsflash. It was a tie.
Yeah, I still win.
No, you don't
win. There's nothing. We are both zero.
Oh, I'm in the kickoff there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well,
no.
So
no,
I...
No, no kickoff.
No.
Anyhow, just called in to get involved.
Hey, I still win. No, I'll take any victory.
It's not a win. It's not a win.
But I'm going to win the kickoff.
It's not a kickoff.
Well, what is it now?
It is a sprint.
Who am I?
Sorry, what? Hang on.
Who am I racing?
Sorry, it's a running race.
Who am I racing?
Is this how it's going to be this year, is it?
Well, no, because if we are involved in a footy competition, we play football.
Oh, I'm not
this
sure.
Was a race.
No,
this
I'm
was a horse
sure.
race. That's... Now, I'm not suggesting you should get on a horse and run, but just run.
I'm not sure that's ever been mentioned in any memo that
I've
seen.
You can't just have a kickoff.
Can we go back to the tie situation?
It was a dead heat.
It was a dead heat, yeah, okay.
You didn't know
that,
did you?
Dead heat. No, it was. I did know that.
Well, then why are you claiming?
Because when I looked at my tab app, Kementari, it was named second.
It was named, that's right.
That's right. Yes.
I actually thought you'd won.
Right.
So okay.
You just got a little bit ahead of yourself, which means it's all in my momentum, my way now. Because you got ahead of yourself.
I agree with you.
Like you did when you're under 14s, batting average champion, and you got into the grand final after the finish on top of making a golden duck.
Yeah, correct.
Because one just got in between the gap between bat and pad.
Yes. That's okay. Look, I'm happy. I'm sort of...
at least you got yourself a chance.
Well, considering where I was last year, I think I'm just happy to be thereabouts again.
Yes, you got yourself into the mix, which is important.
Now, we also must say Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, absolutely we must.
Particularly to Whitey, being the romantic.
I'm sure there'd be breakfast in bed for him this morning.
We don't participate in that sort of activity.
No, who would have thought?
Mm. No. What days do you participate in?
Christmas?
Yep. That's a great question.
Christmas, birthday.
Mm-hmm. That's
National Donut Day.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that's about it. Shrove Tuesday. Yeah, that's coming up soon, isn't it?
What about sort of Easter around the sort of Easter egg hunts?
Yeah. That's it. Valentine's Day. I get involved in that sort of activity.
I must admit, I'm not surprised by that answer.
No, I'm not. I just thought I'd ask the question.
Every day would be Valentine's Day in the White House, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Every day would be there. Wouldn't be any different just on one day with the Hallmark greetings.
Hey, there is some text messages coming in.
Yeah.
Suggesting that George got the quaddie yesterday.
Oh.
Well, I need yesterday's paper. Because that's where I wrote the number.
So thing. Confident are we with George that we didn't even bother checking whether he got it or not.
Well, George will let us know, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, we'll check during the break to just confirm that, because the numbers are outside of my desk.
If George did win yesterday, maybe we need to get him on the line. Oh, we're going to have him on Friday. He can celebrate Friday.
He's not available at the moment, George. Firstly, he's only available 2 days a week, and at this time of the morning, he's currently at 7-Eleven getting the paper.
Which, yeah.
So he would not be near a phone.
He may have got it. He certainly had the 5-1 out, I remember, in the third league. And that's saluted. The quarter paid $136.60.
Yeah, I was just looking at that myself.
So not a bad return on an $8 investment, if in fact man George has come up trumps. We'll get that going. If you've got a suggestion for the tie in the Friday face-off as well, I'm not sure running race is going to cut it, because I'll clearly dominate that. That's not fair on Rammer. 0416905052 with your suggestion.
Yes, good idea.
Happy to throw it out there.
You'd be chafing by, if it's a 100 metre race, by the sort of the 75 metre mark, your thighs will be clearly.
Because about then I'm starting to just pull the handbrake, because I'm that far in front. I can just pull the chute.
Okay.
Really slow down towards the line.
There is a suggestion that you would lose, Rama, because your dividend was less than half's dividend for the place.
Now, this is a system I like.
Well, look, if we want to make rules up on the run, that's fine. Let's just do that. I'm okay. I'm comfortable. I feel like I turned the corner on the weekend, so this weekend will be bigger again.
This weekend's always big.
Just to let you know, I'll be taking Winks.
You won't be picking first.
And we'll be participating in a Melbourne race as opposed to a Sydney race, because we're based in Melbourne.
Wow, I was sort of just jumping in early. Yeah.
You're not getting any of that activity going your way. There's no way known. So that's what might happen. But your nominations, Egg and Spoon race, has come through thick and fast. Mm. Thank you for that. Not sure, 0416905052 with your nominations for the tiebreaker for last week's CFL Stakes Friday face-off.
What's happening with AFLX?
Hang on a sec. George did get the quaddie.
He did.
Paid $136. Now, he had an $8 quaddie to get 50% of that.
No, it was 2x2x1x2 is a full 100%er.
He's got it for $136.
$136. Mm-hmm. He's in front.
Well, this is amazing. I'm very proud, man. That's fantastic.
He's in front.
Wonderful, George.
You know what he's doing now? Playing with their money.
That's right. Well, see, people say, why do you have George on? Well, that's why you have George on. He gets quaddies.
Not much more we can do.
There's some good text messages coming through. There's one that stands out to me, but you've mentioned the egg and spoon race. Darts is another one.
Yeah, I like darts around the world.
No, I think I'm with you.
10-metre sprint.
There's one.
10-metre sprint.
There's one that I think makes perfect sense.
And we have spoken about this before, because I'm quite partial to it. The jockey arcade game where you ride the horses.
Oh, yeah.
Final furlong.
Yeah. Final furlong. Yeah. I think that has to be
done. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed that game as a kid.
As a kid?
You would have been a teenager. You would have been.
There was no.
Mate, it was.
We're not talking.
It was a Crown Casino.
No, I
know. When you were. You would have been playing when it came out.
Yeah, I was. But it was. Kid, it came out when it was sort of 13 or 14.
Oh, nah. I wouldn't have thought so.
Yeah, absolutely.
No.
Absolutely.
They barcode at Crown Casino.
Yeah, correct.
That's where it was.
His barcode was.
Half and I have spoken about this before, that there would be people going to nightclubs, all dressed up to the nines, and me and a mate of mine would go into Crown Casino in tracksuit pants and runners and just play the game.
Just play final furlong and sweat up a treat.
That's it. I did investigate buying one of those, rather than having a rowing machine at home or a
a treddy.
Yeah,
a
treadmill or a exercise bike, of buying one of those. It's just a little bit too expensive.
Crown Casino, tracksuit pants, runners. Everybody's going into nightclubs enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
So you would have been at Barcode that late that you would have seen all the people coming from the nightclubs when they closed into Barcode to get their last sort of drinks before they went home.
No, I didn't go into Barcode. I went to play Final Furlong because it was the only place I knew where it was.
That's exactly correct.
The Village Cinemas. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just dead serious. We were going just the tracksuit pants and the runners. You have to be comfortable playing that game.
There's no limit of that. That's a great idea, by the way. I'm all for that. I think that's a winner.
I've been sort of just flicking through the paper half as we've been going this first hour. I love the Valentine's Day messages.
Oh, no.
Just guys sort of read two quick ones.
Oh, fine.
Brad, I miss you. I wrote letters and your mum threw them out. She called to let me know. That was it. The other one. Nathan, thanks for feeding me and always saying I look pretty. I love you. These two of my favourites that
thanks
I found.
Thanks for feeding
me. Thanks for feeding me.
It's important so to Nathan, be fed.
Nathan's a good cook.
Important to be fed.
I still love Brad, I miss you. I wrote letters and your mum threw them out.
She rang me.
She called me to let me know.
Well, it's a good traditional way of doing things as opposed to the modern day of a text message or an email.
I've just come across one. Sorry. Sorry. Happy Valentine's Day, truffle, honey puff. May you eat all the cheese and gin you can deadlift. Hashtag a lot. Oh, madness. If you want a bit of a chuckle this morning, get yourself into the classifieds of the Herald Sun and read some of these Valentine's Day messages. They are officially outrageous. All the cheese and gin you can deadlift. Hashtag a lot. That's awesome. 10 to 7. We'll get to a break in the early mail coming up after this.
Since he's found himself out of the Australian team, it was probably an absolute weight off his shoulder.
We're probably struggling. It's been below par situation we're in at the moment.
You know, I'm not 21 anymore. I'm 31 trying to play a different sport. So that's a whole new challenge within itself.
Whitey, your advice was no good either. You tried to give me all this advice about South Africa and look how it went.
Your ticket into the heart of sport. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Summer Sanctum.
Yeah, we love the Summer Sanctum here on The Breakfast Club. A chance to sit down with our favourite sports stars and just chew the fat for about half an hour. And we're doing that today with Cameron White from the Melbourne Renegades, who themselves are getting ready for a big Friday night at Marvel Stadium, taking on the Sydney Sixers in the semi-final of the Big Bash League. Cameron White, good morning to you.
Morning, Half. How are you?
Going very well, thank you. Very well indeed. Finals weekend.
It is.
Exciting times in the red.
Yeah, it is. I guess that's what you... When the start of the... Long BBL season kicks off. Better not say that. The coach got stuck into us the other day.
Did he?
No, he didn't. At the start of the long BBL season, when the season kicks off, you aim to qualify and give yourself a chance at making the final. So that's what we've done. So we're there with a chance, home final, which is good as well.
We spoke to Greg Shepherd yesterday, the coach of the Sixers, who you'll be taking on Friday night, about the Tom Curran situation. He's gone home to England. You've lost Mohamed Nabi.
Yep.
How does that affect the group, the psyche of the group, when you've come this far with such pivotal players and all of a sudden, the Wooshka, they're gone?
Well, hopefully it doesn't affect us too much and affects the Sixers a fair bit. But, Mohamed Nabi's been a very good player for us all season. Obviously, someone who bats and bowls is hard to replace. He's an international player, so... Yeah, hopefully it means I get a game. That'd be good.
I was going to ask you, do you know any blokes who can bat and sort of bowl a few overs
and
spin?
Middle order. I don't know about the bowling part, but maybe have a bit of a hit. But so hopefully, things can sort of just move smoothly with Mohamed Nabi gone. So and we can find a way to win.
Does it change the dynamic of the order? Does it change your batting lineup?
No, I don't think so. I think that one of the things we try and do is just trying to keep our sort of structures and the way we play pretty similar no matter who the names are on the sheet. So no doubt whatever lineup Andrew and Aaron Finch come up with, that'll be probably what they're aiming to do, just to try and just make things just sort of transition nicely.
Now, I know you love playing at Marvel Stadium. Shippy said you beat them up there, they beat you down here. Is it a disadvantage or an advantage to be playing at Marvel?
Well, this year we've actually won a few games at home at Marvel Stadium. I think in years gone by we've struggled to win, so I think we've won quite a few now. So one thing we do know is the conditions really well and probably what we're going to get. We'll obviously get a bit better idea what that is when we get there today, later on this afternoon for training. But yeah, we did win in Sydney and they beat us here, so interesting to see how it goes.
Mm. What's firstly, how's your leg?
Leg's good. It's been good for a while.
And as a result of that, because you haven't played for a couple of weeks, is that a good thing that to sort of freshen up for a final series? And what are the sort of things you've been doing? Because obviously T20 cricket, it's hit or miss to know whether you're in form or not and to have that confidence going in, because it's probably about time some of the batters actually stood up and won a game for the Renegades.
Yeah, it is about time, isn't it? I think we've between us, we've made two batsmen have gone past 50 for the whole year, I think, which is extraordinary to think that's happened and we've made the final. So it's probably a real credit to the bowlers that have really obviously bowled really well all year. I'm just reading in the paper now, Kane Richardson on top of the, you know, the wicket takers, and Kane amongst others has been really good for us. So yeah, but this would be a nice game for the batting unit to click with. Feels like I've been saying that from about round three. So that was 11 games ago. So yeah, it'd be nice to, you know, get into the swing of things and make it sort of, you know, one of those games that you play really well.
And how do you feel about it? Because I know, talking to you, you were quite nervous before that JLT Cup final, because you'd never won one out of all the times. You never won one?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was probably just my own fault, putting a bit extra pressure on myself.
And you did quite well in that final. What about this? Because you've never won a Big Bash either. You've won the Big Bash for Victoria, but not since it's gone to the BBL. What are the nerves like? And, you know, how important would it be for you to win it?
Well, obviously, be very nice to win it. Nerves are fine at the moment, no doubt. Maybe tomorrow night when we get to the ground and things start to ramp up, I might get a bit nervous. But a lot of the time, especially now, batting in the last few games I've played, batting in the middle order, the situation's laid out for you pretty much. So, and as you just alluded to there's not too much time to, you know, make a lot of decisions. It's basically have a look for a couple of balls and get on with it, sort of thing. So, laid out in front of you. They're not a hell of a lot of decisions or different situations that you find yourself in that are unfamiliar. So hopefully that's the case, you know, when or if I get a game on Friday night. So nerves are fine now.
Very much like veterans T20 cricket on a Tuesday night half. It's all laid out for you. You get 30 balls, that's all you get. You just got to make the most of it.
I don't like that system. If you're batting at the top of the order, I need more than 30 to make 100. I'm going to need more.
And before Rama fires up with some questions, are you frustrated with what happened with your injury? Because you were just starting to find your form again. You got the runs up in Sydney, and then to then not play or have to retire hurt. Are you frustrated about that, or is it just that's just what happens?
Yeah, obviously it's not ideal, and yeah, partly, you know, a bit frustrating, but you know, could have been worse. I could have been out for the rest of the campaign, I guess. So it was only a sort of very slight injury. Missed one game through injury. So, yeah, not ideal, but what do you do? It's just, you know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore and just got a little niggle and missed a game. So, and obviously just had to retire. I thought that was the best thing to do, you know, at that stage in the game over in Perth as well. We had Dan Christian sitting on the, coming in next and with only 3 overs to bat. So, yeah, not ideal, but I guess these things happen sometimes.
Has it been more of a bowlers tournament? I know, take away Bel Reeve and Matty Wade and Darcy Short, it feels like the tournament has been based more around the bowlers and what they can do with economy rates this season.
Yeah, it has been. I think we've seen a lot of the overseas spinners come right into the fold this year, especially the leg spinners that have got, you know, a good wronging as well. So, and that seems to be what you know, teams are targeting as their overseas player. That seems to be a really effective type of player to bring into the BBL. So that combined, obviously, we talked last time I was in, and we talked a lot about the wickets and some of the low scoring games. That's probably had a little bit to do with it. But yeah, probably the evolution of bowlers and the dominance of the bat in the past has probably made bowlers become better. You'll get better, and I guess you have to in 2020. You have to find a way to not only restrict scoring but take wickets as well.
So I was hoping you're going to say that about the overseas spinners. Do you think we'll see a time where a bowling attack is just spinners?
Oh, it's probably been done before, maybe not in Australia but overseas, but oh, it's definitely heading that way. We're definitely going to be a lot of spinners, I think. Especially, I can just see all these guys, you know, like Mohammed Nabi and the guys from, you know, the overseas players from the Heat and the Stars. You know, back in their home country, they're sitting around watching TV, copying their action. So I think, over the next couple of years, I think there'll be a lot more people just, you know, bowling very similar to Rashid Khan or someone like that. These guys back in their home country will be sitting around watching TV going, that's what I want to do. I want to play in the Big Bash or IPL. copying their action, running in, bowling sort of fast leggies or flickers or tricky stuff that's not very, you know, much fun to face.
Flickers.
Can you pick them? Some you can,
but obviously, like someone like Rashid Khan, he's obviously the world's best bowler for a reason. He's more difficult to pick than most.
So how do you try and pick him? Yeah. Are you trying to pick him out of the hand, or are you trying to pick him off the pitch?
You're trying to get every possible clue that you can.
Yeah. How often do you guess?
Well, you don't guess. You just sometimes you don't read it as well as what you would like. Sometimes I reckon Rashid is obviously one of the hardest I've faced since Ajmal from Pakistan when he was at his best. But you know, you could probably question his action a bit. Well, he did get done for throwing eventually. But Rashid Khan's he's the, you know, I think facing him and thinking back, he's got me out every time I faced him. So and I think I'm a very, you know, honestly, it'd be 50-50 the balls that you pick, and it's always harder under lights as well. And obviously we don't play many day games in the BBL, so it makes things a bit more difficult.
So do you play for a wrong'un? Do you play for a leggy?
I've tried everything. Yeah, I've tried it. It just hasn't worked. I tried to. You know, you try and look at all the pitch maps, you watch replays and see what line he's sort of bowling. A couple of times I've tried to play with more of a straighter bat, and a couple of times I've tried to thinking, you know, to sweep as much as possible. But as I said, nothing worked too well for me.
And why is that? It's interesting, Huff, isn't it? That, you know, you can sort of pick him on TV a bit, but.
What?
Well, because you're looking from behind and you're looking at slow motion some of the time as well. But
I don't believe you. I'm going to sit in next time he bowls. I'm sitting in the lounge room with you.
No, but it's interesting. The night thing is that the cues you're looking for, because the guy in Brisbane, I can't think of his name.
Majid.
Yeah, like some of the things he does, you got no idea what's happening.
Yeah, that's right. It's just harder with at night. It's harder to see the spin on the ball. Not necessarily the hand, obviously, but just the actual which direction the
seam is.
Yeah, you'll notice that a lot of the spinners these days bowl. They don't bowl down the seam. They'll bowl cross seam, whether it's a leggy, wrong and all. Top spinner or, you know, generally a slider, they'll bowl, everything's mixed seam. So what I mean by that, the seam's always scrambled, so which makes it harder to see as a batsman. So, but getting back to Rashid Khan, I think he just gives you less cues than the other guys. I think he takes his bowling arm, he sort of ducks over a bit and his bowling arm comes up behind his head, so you sort of lose track of the hand and the ball for a split second, which doesn't sound like much, but, you know, when he's bowling 100 kilometres an hour, which is fast. You don't get a lot of time to react, and you just get a few less cues, so therefore it makes him more difficult to pick.
What I see in the studio,
yes.
Adam White, no relation, heaps of English willow bats.
Yes.
What's happening in here?
Well, I thought because...
There's five of them.
Yeah, I thought we would do something a little bit different because Cam was coming in, and just to talk about cricket bats and how many players have, what the weight is, how long they last, should people knock bats in? Because a lot of people are obsessed, like me, about cricket bats. And the reason the sort of discussion came about was I broke mine, which was an absolute tragedy. I'm still hoping to get it back. And I've been borrowing John Hastings.
They're never the same.
No, mine is that good. I think it will still
They're
survive.
Never the same.
Anyway, John Hastings gave me one of his to use, and it's a long blade, and I never even heard of it.
Awful bat.
And anyway, so I used it, and it took me a while to get used to it, and it was heavy, and so I weighed it, and it was £2.13. And
oh, goodness gracious.
Which is quite heavy.
Very.
So I asked Cam to bring in one of his today to see the difference.
You mean this Chronicles Atomic 1400 mid-profile superior grade 1 English willow bat that
yes.
I'm holding?
Now, I'm already regretting him bringing it in, having picked it up before I had to put it down. How heavy is your bat?
My bats are all around... £2.09¾, maybe.
£2.09¾.
Yeah, to be specific, or maybe even just under £2.10. Yeah.
And what about shape wise? That's an atomic bat. So are they all the same, or do you get yours particularly sort of crafted?
I'd say that shape is pretty common across the board and the brands. I've used the same shape pretty much since I started playing cricket. I was lucky enough to be sponsored by Grey Nichols, so it's got it's a pretty standard sort of shape with a bit of a slight bow. Yeah, it's just what I sort of feel comfortable with. It sort of I find that they tap down well and they pick up well, and Stewie at Grey Nichols makes a great bat.
So do you go down at the start of the summer and sort of try a few out and say, yeah, that's what I like, make them to that specification, or do they just give them to you? How does it all happen?
I think in my situation, obviously been with Grade Nichols for a long time now, so, and the same batmaker's been at Grade Nichols for that period as well, so I'm very lucky where I don't have to, you know, go down there. I've just been using the same bat basically, you know, since I started as a, you know, 17-year-old playing for Victoria, so my bats have changed, well, not very much at all, really. Maybe every now and again, you know, I'll change the grip because there's a new or better.
One or two grips?
I'm one grip, but there's all, you know, grips weigh different amounts and they're different thicknesses as well. So that's just, you know, buyer's choice, really, whatever you want to go with and what feels best. But I like these sort of, I'm not actually sure what these new sort of octopusy type grips are, but they're a little bit thicker than your normal grip, so one grip, it's like one and a half grip.
Yeah.
So it works well for me.
So you're very particular on your bat.
Yep.
How many guys can then just walk into Grey Nichols and pick up any bat and go and play?
Not many. Most people would be pretty particular about what they like. Obviously, maybe the longer you've played or the better player you are, you can have a bit more say in it. Like if you're a junior player and you're walking in off the street, they'll probably just go, you know, they'll give you a bit of say, but you certain amount of pull you could have in terms of picking out your bat. But I think that's a pretty sort of standard sort of shape. Like a lot of the bats that even if you walked into Greg Chappell Cricket Centre or any of the cricket centres around Melbourne, they'll be going to be very, very similar, you know, quality and shape to that bat there that half's holding.
Are you a grainman? Do you have a certain number of grains down the face of the bat that you like?
I used to be, but not so much anymore. Speaking to Stewie, the bat maker down there, it's more about just how he just taps them up really with a mallet and whatever it's more just how they ping off really.
Yep.
So it's not so much how many grains or what the wood is anymore. It's just how well the wood reacts to the mallet. So more feel than, you know, two-tone wood or certain amount of grains or what direction or knots or any of that sort of thing.
One of the big questions in local cricket is, do you knock in a bat or do you not? Now, my view is you don't knock in a bat.
That was one of life's great joys as a kid.
Well, with a stocking hanging off the belt.
Yeah, that was cool.
So what's your view on that?
I like to use them a couple of times in the nets, and because we're as professional cricketers, I'll say that lightly, you get a few bats. So it's nice to, if you use a few, you can find out which ones are the real, you know, you really feel comfortable and which ones are the real, real good ones. So I like to use them a bit. I also like the jugs indoor cricket ball on them as well. I find it sort of, you know, sort of softens them up a bit. So we talk about the wood opens up a little bit, sort of, you
good
know.
Sound as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, sort of, and those jugs ball are nice and hard, balls are nice and hard as well. So I always sort of, you know, if you use them once or twice and they're really good, that'll sort of go away for the start of the season and make sure that's the, you know, you find out which bat you really like.
So how many are in your bag?
I carry four around with me and a few spares at home.
There you go. So the one that you've brought in today, you're saying you haven't actually used that in a match?
No, last time I would have used that one would have been pre-season.
So you carry four, but you don't rotate your bats.
I'll have like obviously in order, one to four, and then probably the fourth or three and four would be my, you know, net bats. I don't use my match bats in the game. So you don't want, they only last a certain amount of balls, so you don't want to waste them in the nets.
So how many do they? Yeah, how long do they last?
I'm not sure. Obviously, sometimes you just get unlucky and you get a yorker and a bit of the toe might chunk off or something like that. But rarely do they break in the handle or the shoulder these days. It's just maybe bottom corner, bottom inside edge, sort of most of the bats.
Like break this. Bat,
yeah, that's a great example.
That's my bat. I copped a good yorker that day.
So that's generally where they'll break out these days. But I would, they last a fair while. Like, you know, I get most of the season out of, you know, one bat, but sometimes. And I don't change much either. I generally use, you know, a 4-day, my Sheffield Shield bat. If it's still going well, I'll be, might go into Big Bash.
So in your time playing so many years of cricket, what's the most bats that you've seen a teammate or an opposition player carry around?
Oh, you hear stories of, you know, David Warner and Steve Smith carrying it. They have a bag for their bats, so we're talking 20. And I think that's not a story, that's true, I think.
That's
so
excessive.
The only thing about going maybe into Big Bash is I probably like a newer bat because then obviously the wood is harder and it's sort of, whereas if, you know, you might use, you know, the same bat all the time for Shield cricket, but if it's by the time you get to Shield cricket, Big Bash, you played six Shield games and the bat's getting a bit old, I might, you know, probably get a freshie out and because the wood's nice and hard and, you know, maybe it's just a mental thing as well, but I do find once you stop using the bat and sort of it sort of you loses its sort of give and flex. That's it. Sort of if it has a month off, it's gone.
Well, with our local figures, you might not bat for 3 weeks.
Yeah. So. Well, what about the end of season?
Yeah.
Sits in the bag for 8 months.
And then in the garage.
Sit on the couch. The
with the IPL, did you use different bats there? Because obviously different surfaces. And you see these. I know you've given me one of those massive IPL bats, which are quite extraordinary. It's almost cheating. If you were going back to the IPL, would you use a different bat to that one, or would you stay with what you got?
Pretty similar. As you can see, it's hard, obviously, with the listeners, that bat has got a sort of lowish to lowish middle, or sort of, you know, the most of the wood is down, just pretty low.
Yep.
Hard to explain. So, that sort of bat would suit the, you know, Indian sort of conditions, and it's obviously fine for here as well. But that would probably be one, you know, going to the subcontinent or overseas where the ball, especially when when in 50 over cricket, you only used to use the one ball and the ball used to get quite soft.
Yes.
That's when I might have used maybe a touch heavier bat.
Okay, yeah.
A bit bigger bat, especially batting, you know, those times when I was batting in the middle order, you know, on those sort of drier sort of wickets, I might have went to a heavier bat then. But these days with the two new balls in 50 over cricket, I'm batting up the top of the order. My bats are pretty, I don't change much from Shield cricket to Big Bash to one day cricket. So everything's pretty similar. And I think that's pretty much the case across the board that, you know, these days with most of the players, I think everyone sort of uses a pretty similar bat with maybe the exception if, but you know, these blokes are going overseas these days. I'm not really sure what they do, but wickets are pretty good around the world these days, I reckon.
Hercules Hastings had the 213, the £2.13 bat.
Yep.
Most players looking for a bit more lighter bats these days for swing speed.
Yeah, it's changed over the years. Thinking back to Ricky Ponting and even someone like a classical player like Damien Martin, at stages in their career, they used very big, heavy, huge bats.
Yep.
But then, and that obviously worked really well back then. And you can use those, you know, Chris Lynn, you know, when they, and Usman Khawaja had those huge things until, recently when they changed the bat laws. But I think today most people are going with more of like a golf club sort of theory, whereas a bit lighter so you can swing it faster. So, and as you can see, there's still plenty of wood in the Grey Nichols bat there. So, people are steering away from the extra heavy bat and just sort of nice sort of even sort of normal weight to around the 2.9, 2.10, 2.8.5 sort of area, and so you can swing it fast.
Yeah,
I've got sense. I did some research ahead of this.
Did you?
Yep. Tim Payne used to use a bat around 212, 213, which is what the bat that Hastings.
Tim just used the same bat as Ricky. That's the reason.
But he's gone back to a 2.9 bat.
Yep.
Usman Khawaja and Glenn Maxwell are at 212, around that sort of mark. But from what I understand, Justin Langer is sort of encouraging players to use lighter bats as a coach of Australia. I don't know why, but that's what he's sort of suggesting. But yeah, I know that Khawaja, he uses a heavier bat for one day cricket or T20 cricket to what he would for test cricket. So I remember him using David Warner's bats when we had that amazing T20 series a couple of years ago.
Yep.
He was actually using Warner's bats.
Yeah, well, Usman Khawaja, Chris Lynn, David Warner were the guys that probably had those rules changed.
Bats,
they were the guys that had those huge, great, big bats, which were obviously clearly heavier, but the ball went miles off them. So they changed the bat laws, was it last year or the year before?
Yeah,
they were the, you know, my bats weren't affected and most people's bats weren't affected. Those huge bats were the only ones that were really had to change.
Mm. And then even if you go back to the times of, say, Mike Hussey, his bat was around that sort of 2.9 mark. So even though the technology would you say the technology's improved in the last sort of 10 years with the bats, the actual weight the players are using is still pretty similar in that sort of 2.9 range.
Interesting stuff. It's a good topic.
And the other one, Adam Gilchrist. We've got one of Adam's in. And I was interested, because I thought that would be a heavy bat, but that's a 2.9.5. So it's not heavy. And he hit the ball very hard.
He did. He swung it fast.
Very fast swing. That's right.
Yeah. Long handle he took. Well, he took the long grip, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Not a long...
Top of the handle.
Not a long blade.
Short handle.
They're awful.
Short handle, but long grip.
Now, who wins tonight, Cam?
I think the Stars are going to win tonight. I think, as we're just discussing off air, I think the Hurricanes maybe just their bowling's just on the downward slide, and maybe they're losing a bit of momentum towards the important time of being there with the Stars, where you can play well the whole tournament, and just be trending the wrong way at the wrong time of the year. So I'm tipping the Stars.
And who is tomorrow night? Don't answer that. It's been great to have you in. Appreciate your time. Good luck.
Depends.
Hopefully your name is on the lineup. I wonder what Jack Crisp from the Magpies is doing for Valentine's Day. He joins us on The Breakfast Club this morning. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
We're going very well, thank you, buddy. What is in store for Valentine's Day for you, Jack?
Probably go home and have a nap with the missus, that's about it. I'm pretty tired.
No breakfast in bed, no flowers, nothing?
No. Little one was a bit cranky last night, so we're a bit tired this morning. she's getting babysat, and we'll take a couple of hours to catch up on some sleep, I reckon.
Well, that's a good system. You've got that sorted out pretty well. Yeah. And what else you've got sorted out pretty well is your future. A 4-year extension at the Magpies. You must be a wrap with that.
Yeah, no, I really am. We're pretty keen to get it out of the way before the season started, and kind of happened real quick. Both parties are very, very keen to get it done and get a long term deal. So very happy.
I remember talking to you when you first got to Collingwood, and that sort of anxiety, Jack, about trying to get a game and prove your worth when you made the move from Brisbane, and you just have been outstanding and consistent since you got to the club. What's been the secret to your success?
I don't know. I guess a bit of durability always helps. Not being able to get injured and stuff. But I don't know. I think since I've come down to Collingwood, I've just been able to get the best out of myself in terms of my footballing career. Just conversations back and forth from the coaches and just putting in a fair bit of work as well, I guess. And I don't know. Yeah, just making sure I'm doing what I can to hold my spot early on, and then being able to just to try and keep improving, so I'm not just staying the same player. Like, I can just keep adding more strings to the bow and just keep being able to play at a high level.
You mentioned, Jack, the little one playing up a little bit last night. Do you think that has helped, having obviously being married, having a young family? Do you think that helps your football?
I reckon it does. Like I was saying a few last year, it just helps you to be able to mentally switch off. I don't know, a few times when we lost last year, and I was just cranky or upset or whatever was going on, and then just walk out of the team meeting and Lila's in the change rooms, I couldn't help but smile, and you just switch off straight away. It's just unbelievable.
Now, you've got a nice problem ahead for the Pies. Jamie Elliott, Darcy Moore, Dane Beams potentially all coming into the 22. Take us through pre-season. How competitive has it been? Have you tried guys in different positions? What's the makeup? Do you really know what the makeup of the team is going to look like yet?
Well, I haven't been out there doing too much with the format and stuff, but from what I've seen, it's a pretty healthy competition. Like, everyone's given it a fair old crack, and obviously there's different spots up for grabs. Like Bucks has already said, no one's safe. Doesn't matter who you are in the team. No, we haven't got quite the right mix yet, I don't think, but we'll probably figure that out closer to round one, so we'll have a few different mixes going in the practice games. But it's going to be interesting to find out and see where all the pieces fall, and I'm really looking forward to the year ahead with everyone.
Well, you've got the world's deepest midfield, the world's highest quality midfield. How do they all get a game? What's the competition been like with those fellas?
Pretty good. Guys have been tried out in different positions. Like, you've got to play mid forward and back and wing, and like, you can't just be an inside midfielder these days. So whether they rotate all through the deep forward or up high forward or have a go at half back, it's just going to be, we'll just work that out as it comes.
And Bucks, on the back of what happened last year and what you were able to achieve as a group, and ultimately it wasn't, I'm sure, what you all wanted with the loss in the grand final, but has there been a different demeanour and theme perhaps from him in this preseason on the back of what you were able to achieve as a group last year?
It hasn't been too different at all. Like, when we first started back, we had a bit of a look at the grand final and just went through it a little bit, and we acknowledged, we had a really good game and we had a pretty good year as well. Like, we came a long way, so we're just going to be looking to improve on that. Like, we worked our butts off to get to where we were, and we've got to make sure we've got to take it that one step further to actually win the grand final. So he hasn't changed too much. All our standards at the club are still extremely high, and everyone's just really enjoying their football and enjoying coming to the club and trying to get the best out of themselves to do that.
Supporters are always interested in new draftees. There's obviously you've got two in the first round in Will Kelly and Isaac Quainer. Reports correct that Quainer may play early in the year?
So as far as I can see, it looks pretty good. He's training really well. He's all the matching simulation stuff, he's performing well as well. So, it's good to see him. He's got a lot of confidence, and obviously he's got a strong body as well. It looks like he's a 25-year-old man, like body. But he's going really well.
What's his nickname?
Q. IQ.
IQ, yeah. I'll be calling him Einstein.
Oh, Albert.
Yeah, well, Einstein, yeah, I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah, just throw it in the mix and see what they say.
Doesn't look like Einstein.
Hey, you spoke about a couple of the new draftees. What about Dane Beams coming back? I mean, everyone's going to be interested to see what role he plays, and, you know, we know him as one of the best players in the competition. What's he been like coming back, and where do you think he'll play?
He's been pretty good. Like, he's been really happy down here, and everyone's always welcoming to whoever comes down, and he's training pretty well. He's been a bit crook a couple of times, but he's going really well. He's been doing a lot of midfield work, and a little bit up forward as well, like same as all the other mids. So he's just doing what they're doing, but they're all going really well.
All going really well, and of course, the first game for the Magpies in the home and away season is March 22 against the Cats at the mighty MCG to kick off what's going to be another big year for the Magpies. Jack, we appreciate your time. I sort of feel bad speaking to you when you've been up all night with the bub, so we'll let you get back to bed, mate.
I still want to see that. It's all good.
Freshen up and get yourself right for a big season for the Magpies. Good night.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Jack Crisp from the Magpies signed a 4-year extension to the end of 2023.
Very good player.
Really good performances and climbed the table. One man they want to help them do that is Jamie McLaren, who's recently signed a deal to be a part of Melbourne City. Scored on the weekend against Adelaide to tie the game up. On debut for Melbourne City. He's been good enough to join us. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
We're going really well. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate your time. What's it like being back home?
Yeah, it's nice. I think when you spend 11 years, away from family and friends, you kind of miss out on good times. But it's been a good journey. I'm only 25, so I'm just looking forward to settling down here in Melbourne and, really kicking on.
It's a big decision. You say that, you're 25, and that's probably one of the most important factors, I imagine, for your decision, because you made a call effectively to stay here now. Is that about right with your football career?
Yeah, there's a reason why I signed the long-term deal. I think, as a player, you always want to have that sort of sense of security, but not just that. I spent it as an opportunity to come to a club that, have ambition to obviously win silverware, and I've won the individual awards in the A-League, but I've not won any trophies as a team. So that's something I want to do with City.
Were there other options, Jamie, to play elsewhere, obviously overseas still?
Yeah, there was, but for me, it's Europe's not everything, especially when you were away and you do the hard yards and stuff like that. It is great to be playing, but when you find yourself sometimes in and out of the team and stuff like that, you want to have rhythm. And at the end of the day, I still want to keep my Socceroo spot. And, when I'm playing regularly and scoring regularly, I'll keep it if I'm playing regular.
Now, talking about scoring regularly, it wasn't just your routine tapping. It was sort of the lovely little back heel just to show everybody that you were back on the weekend.
Yeah, to be honest, I actually don't think I've ever even scored a goal like that. So it's nice to add that to the armoury. But, it was a great ball by Bratzy. He sees it. When you've got players who are behind you that can see the runs and see the movement, it's great. And it gives me confidence that, when you start well, you can just really kick on.
So when you come back, is your mindset you just want to come back and dominate and really sort of take control of the competition and sort of stamp your mark? Or is it about just getting in there, playing your role and letting the goals happen as a result of playing your role?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I know what to expect from the A-League. I know it's a league that's growing, and I had such a great time at Brisbane and really enjoyed my football. And sometimes when you have those periods, you have really fond memories. And I just wanted to come back to Australia, come back to the A-League and do what I do and show people that, I'm that guy that scored. I'm the only Aussie that scored 20 goals two seasons in a row. So, I'm wanting to continue that, but obviously I've come halfway through the season. We're in the finals shout, so I want to win silverware this year, but years to come, I want to be that player that people remember that scores double figures every single year and keep my standards high.
You talked before, Jamie, about wanting to play for the Socceroos. You've come off the Asian Cup campaign. You scored your first international goal, it might have been, at the Asian Cup. We didn't go too deep into the Asian Cup. How disappointing was that, considering the build-up to it from the Australian perspective?
Yeah, look, you can always say it's disappointing from a team perspective, and, you don't want to say you let the country down, because it's not like that, in sport. But the Asian countries are getting better. Obviously we need to improve as well. But we'll take positives from it. It's still a young group, and right now we look at a 4-year sort of cycle of qualifying for the next World Cup. And there's some great talent. There's some boys that are coming through as well. So it's if I was Graham, I'd want to be positive and really looking forward to what's ahead.
And Warren Joyce and his influence at Melbourne City, we've spoken to him plenty of times here on the program in the build-up to games, in the off-season as well. What do you make of him as a manager, and was he one of the reasons you signed the deal?
Yeah, well, I was up against Warren as a 16 and 18 year old when I was at Blackburn. He was at Man United, so we kind of had that sort of we knew each other from then. But you know, I knew what he's going to bring to the City Group. The City Group have backed him massively, and that's what you want. You want a club to back the coach, and he's backing me as a player. And you know, the club have given me so much faith with a long term deal. And sometimes as a player, you've got to show some loyalty as well. And the way he wants to play is a high press, and for me, that suits me. And you saw on the weekend, I was always pressing, always moving. And, I got my goal, which, I'll walk off the pitch thinking I should have scored two. But I'll take the comments in tonight.
Well, Melbourne City fans will fall in love with you very, very quickly if you keep scoring. No doubt about that. Well done on the weekend. You've got Newcastle tomorrow night. You'll head up there, I'm sure, today or tomorrow morning. We wish you the best of luck, Jamie. Look forward to seeing you in action. Beautiful.
Thank you very much, guys. Take it easy.
Jamie McLaren, one of the biggest stars in the Hyundai A-League with us, Melbourne City.
Yeah. You know what? They need stars, the A-League.
Yep.
But I reckon they need local stars.
Yep.
I talk about this a lot on this program, about how we don't know the Socceroos players. We know their names, but we don't know them to have an emotional investment. To have someone of his calibre back playing in Australia week in, week out, and having that sort of bit of the superstar factor, that's good.
I love the comment, double-figure goals every year.
Yeah, that's what he wants. Yeah. He's a goal scorer. He's got that mindset.
That's good.
Yeah, get him in the back of the nets. Speaking of local stars, Michael Gibbons has been a local star in the VFL for many, many years. Now, finally, gets his chance in the AFL with the Carlton Football Club. He joined us on the Breakfast Club this morning. Good morning, Michael.
G'day, boys. How are we?
We're going very well, thank you, buddy. More importantly, how are you? Is it all sunk in yet after being told at Mooloolaba that you will be a Carlton player in 2019?
Yeah, I think it's all sunk in now. We had the four-day break after the camp on Friday night when I got told. Had a bit of time to reflect and celebrate a little bit with family and friends. And then, once we got back yesterday, got back into it, and it's all guns blazing now.
Building up to it, when you didn't get drafted, going back a few months now, when you didn't get drafted, was there any time that you sort of said to yourself, well, I've just missed the boat here, it's just never going to happen?
Look, it sort of crosses my mind each time over the last 5 years that I've missed out, definitely. But, it's always been in the back of my mind to be drafted, and I'm pretty stubborn, and I've always had to believe that I can be drafted. So every time that I guess I've been told that I can't, I've always wanted to stay down here and prove that I can.
Gibbo, you obviously have tested yourself many times against AFL midfielders playing in the VFL when they've come back and played. But what about testing yourself against those guys with their training standards? How have you found the change to life in becoming now a full-time professional footballer?
Yeah, I think maybe the first week before Christmas, it took me a little bit to adapt. I probably didn't realise the competitiveness at training at every single session, at every single drill. We do 150 sprints here, and the bloke's giving you elbows to beat you. So getting used to that is a bit different. But then getting away from the club and just trying to be an elite athlete away from the club is the other thing. So we go from being here and we have everything sort of laid out for us. But they talk about what you do away from the club is how you're going to prepare there.
So I've always known you to be confident about how you go about your football and how you go about your preparation. How confident are you that you can make a really significant impact in the Carlton midfield or up forward this year for the Blues?
Look, we've been doing some match simulation and everything at the moment, and we have some JLTs coming up, so hopefully I can get a call or a tap on the shoulder from Bolt to give me a crack at the JLTs, and then I guess I'll have more of an understanding from there. But at the moment, we have a lot of depth in the midfield. We have some elite players in Cooper and Murph, and we also got some young players, Zach Fisher and them boys coming through. So, if I can add anything to that, I'll definitely be happy to do that. So we've just got to wait and see where I sit at the moment, I guess.
Michael, how difficult has the last couple of months been for you? And the reason I ask you that question is that there were people saying before Christmas that you're going to get on a senior list. Carlton are going to pick you up. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. And up until a couple of days ago, it hadn't happened. So how were you juggling that sort of pressure of expectation and all that sort of thing over the last couple of months?
Yeah, I think it sort of got a little bit difficult there over the last couple of weeks, especially with some articles coming out that I was going to debut round one and I wasn't even on the list. The stuff like that obviously I'm told not to read into it and everything, but when you've got family and friends sending it to you, it can get you down a little bit. But I guess the way the club handled it in announcing it early when they didn't have to, they had up until March 11th just shows that they care for my well-being and everything. So I guess, yeah, it was a little bit tough over the last couple of weeks especially, but I'm really grateful for the way the club has handled it with me.
So did you get an inclination when you're up there that you might have got the call, or you might have been told, yep, this is it? Was it a complete surprise?
No, it was a complete surprise. Even like that video that they showed, we were winding down camp, and that was the very, very last thing. We were about to head off to the airport, so we thanked everyone from the hotel staff to the football department and everyone in between. And then, you know, I was sort of started giving me a bit of a pump up, and even then I didn't really cherry. So looking back, it was probably pretty silly of me. But, you know, it was just such a shock. As I said, they didn't have to do anything until March 11th. So, yeah, I wasn't expecting it at all.
Now, the biggest issue, Half, at Ramo, for Michael here, it's a huge problem that you've got.
Oh, right.
Is that you are going to be in virtually every single person's fantasy team, because everyone's talking about the cheap buy of Michael Gibbons. He gets heaps of the ball. He's going to give us plenty of points. Are you ready for this pressure of expectation?
Well, to be honest, I don't really know much about Supercoach. I've got a couple of mates that play it, and they've been telling me a little bit of stuff like that. There's been a bit of rave about me, but look, let's put it out there. Don't all put me in. I don't want all the flash, the backlash if anything happens or I disappoint. So let's just ease up on that one, will we?
I'm not sure that's going to happen. Michael. Have you had a vision of what it might be like getting out there in an AFL game yet? Have you thought that far ahead?
Not that far ahead just yet. You know, there's obviously been some hysteria around me debuting round one and everything, but I think that's such a long way away. And you know, we've got a practice match against Hawthorn next week, which I'll play in, and I want to play, you know, hopefully get a kick in that, and then from there, then after that, the goal will be to play, hopefully get a JLT match or maybe two. We'll just wait and see what happens. But yeah, and then I'll reassess after the practice matches and the JLTs are all done and see where I'm at from there.
Before I let you go, can I ask you about the influence of Williamstown coach Andy Collins on your career? He's a former teammate of mine back in the old days, and he's a terrific man. How significant has his influence been on you?
Oh, mate, I can't thank Collins enough for everything he's done for me over the last 5 years. Not only the way he's just been such a great coach and, you know, role model for me, but the way he's pushed me and challenged me, but also, like, over the last probably 12 to 18 months, especially the way he's just, you know, fought for me and annoyed the hell out of all the recruiters and even gone in the media a lot. I guess everyone's probably sick of him and hearing my name. So, you know, the way Collo's gone into bat for me and has a belief in me, I owe a lot to him.
Well, he's a good man, and you're an outstanding young talent with a mature age, 23 years of age. It's a good age, I reckon, to be walking into AFL footy these days, ready to roll. And we wish you the best of luck with the Blues in 2019, Michael. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, boys. Appreciate it.
Michael Gibbons, or as Ramon would call him, Gibbo.
I've known Michael for a number of years.
I thought you might have.
Yes.
When you ran with the Gibbo. Make sure, if you want to see him in round one or wherever it might be, and you're bound by Blue in 2019 Carlton fans, sign up, become a Carlton member today. Head to the membership part of the website, membership.carltonfc.com.au.
One before the news.
One before the news. Sarah Patterson is loving this, by the way.
I'd pick you every time, even out of my teeth. Happy Valentine's Day.
True romance. It's been a big summer of cricket for the men and the women. And yesterday, the 13-player squad was announced for Australia's series against New Zealand in the Australian Women's Cricket Fraternity. And it kicks off on the 22nd of Feb in Perth. One day there, then a one day in Adelaide. A Governor General's 11 game at Des Moines, and then the third one day at the Junction Oval in Melbourne. And one of the stars of the show, no doubt, will be Elise Perry, who's been good enough to join us this morning on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Elise.
Good morning, guys.
Sounds like, and it seems like, with the WBBL thrown in, it's been a really big couple of months for particularly the Australian women's cricket team and the players that have played in that. How fatigued are you at this stage of the season?
Yeah, you're right. It's been a huge couple of months. It's been an awesome couple of months, too, I think. You know, particularly the WBBL and just how well that was received and the finish of the competition, how great that was. So, it's been really cool. I suppose we've played a lot of cricket in the last couple of months, but I think everyone's doing pretty well and really looking forward to finishing off the season against New Zealand in these one days.
And it's a good opportunity to, again, to highlight the quality of women's cricket. And the WBBL this year has been nothing short of outstanding. I'm still getting over that semi-final weekend, which you were very much a part of. Are you seeing the development come through probably quicker than perhaps you thought, or is this what you expected with the quality that's on display?
It's a good question. I think certainly the fact that essentially now all of our domestic players are very much close to being full-time professional athletes has had a huge impact on the development of the sport and how quickly that's happened. And, you know, the girls have been training in their state environments, their franchise or Big Bash environments full-time now for the last probably 18 months. So I think that's made a huge difference. So it's been so cool to be a part of that and to, I guess, experience the growth. But also to see, like, how quickly things are going forward and we're sort of still doing that too. So it's been awesome.
Do you know how many games you've played this year, all up?
I haven't counted, to be honest. I think with the Australian team, we had a tour to Malaysia to play against Pakistan, and then we went straight to the West Indies for the T20 World Cup before coming home and, like, starting the Big Bash straight away.
Yeah.
With the Australian summer. So, there's been a lot of games, but it's been great. I haven't counted, but, there's been a lot of cricket.
So are you mentally or physically tired, or are you sort of just riding the wave at the moment?
I think it's pretty hard to be too tired because there's so many exciting things and things you want to be a part of. So, I think all the players have been managed really well around that. Just grabbing little bit pockets of time off or a chance to, I guess, spend a week at home and reset training. I guess more familiar environments. Everyone sort of had that chance across the summer at some point or another. I'm feeling fine, and I think most of the girls are going along really well.
Well, that's good because you can't be tired, Elise, because we need you in this series against New Zealand. Now, you're missing a couple of players from the usual squad. What can we expect from your team, but also what are you expecting from New Zealand?
A couple of things. I think Lauren Cheadle is a really exciting addition to our squad. She's a left-arm quick and is still really young, but has had some, bit of bad luck with injury and illness over the last couple of years. Has finally been able to get back on the park fairly consistently in the last 4 or 5 months, and has just got better and better as the more that she's played and bowled. So it's really nice to see her get another opportunity in the Australian side. That's pretty cool. And then I think in terms of New Zealand, they had a fairly disappointing start to the summer, but they've just played India in some matches over at at home and have done really well, particularly in the T20 stuff. So I think they'll come in with a bit of confidence and form, and the fact that it's Australia v New Zealand always adds something to it as well. So I think it'll be a really tough last couple of games of the summer.
Elise, just to change direction a little bit, you're obviously one of Australia's greatest athletes at the moment. Sam Kerr is also one of Australia's greatest athletes at the moment. What do you, obviously with your history within the game of soccer, what do you make of what she's doing now on the national stage, on the weekend, a hat-trick, and on the international stage?
I think it's pretty unprecedented in soccer, really. To have a player like Sam be so dominant, not only in Australia but also on the world stage in terms of her performances, and she's been nominated for World Football Awards a couple of times now in the last few years. As I said, I think it's pretty unprecedented for an Australian footballer to be that high up. And she's an absolute wonderful player. She's a delight to watch. I certainly enjoy seeing her run around the park. And it's a huge testament to Sam. And seeing a little bit a while ago how much work and passion she puts into her football, but also I think the coaching structures and team around women's football in Australia, there's been some really great things happening.
There has been. And just back to the cricket for a second, if I can. The I was reading with interest today that England and Australia are the only test-playing nations. Yes. Why don't India play tests, or South Africa or New Zealand? Why don't they play tests?
I think, I know with India and South Africa, they've played, maybe a handful of tests across their history. But, I think from a regularity point of view, most home boards or, India's equivalent, or the BCCI and South African cricket, New Zealand cricket, have all sort of prioritised the shorter format games for the women, probably for a few reasons, I think. Firstly, just in terms of what's going to get cut through and the best way to, market and grow the game. And secondly, from a cost point of view, I think at times it's probably not been feasible for for test matches to be played, but I think, you know, from my perspective, what's really shown the value of test cricket in women's cricket is the multi-format style that we've played for the Ashes series against England, where we play three T20s, three ODIs and one test match, and they all accumulate points and, I guess, contribute to whoever wins the Ashes. So I think that's worked really well. The last test match we played in Australia at North Sydney was so incredibly well received, and lots of people watched that at the ground and on the stream. And it just made the whole competition and series so exciting and engrossing. So it'd be really nice going forward if potentially we started to look at that kind of format for a series against other nations when they when they tour here and potentially when we tour abroad. But I think it's just one of those things that test cricket was put aside to focus on the other formats and hopefully get some cut through with fans. But yeah, now it's probably evolved to the point where we can start thinking about it again.
Everyone was watching on the stream because you made about 650 and batted for about 3 days and three nights.
On a concrete road of a pit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Runs are runs, all these runs are runs. Now, are you Victorian yet?
I'm actually standing in the Botanic Gardens in Melbourne right now, you guys, so I suppose you could say that.
Have you got your house sorted yet, and where are you going to live?
No, I'm not a Mexican yet. I'm still trying to look for a house and sort out where we're going to move to. But hopefully in the next couple of months, actually, Matt doesn't get home till June after the European rugby season wraps up. But, I'm really looking forward to coming down and starting a new adventure, and caught up with some of the girls from the Victorian team at the Junction yesterday, and that's an amazing facility too. So, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you're finally working out what it's like to live when you're down here in Victoria full time, Alicia.
Oh,
I love it.
Settle down.
We look forward to it.
Okay,
yeah, Sydney, it's got water. It's got some water.
Exactly.
And a bridge.
A bridge.
Yeah, we've got the views, guys.
We've got the life.
Go to Mount Dandenong, you get a good view.
Alicia, looking forward to seeing the Australian girls in action again for the 3 one-day series against New Zealand, kicking off next Friday in Perth. We always appreciate chatting. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Good stuff. Elise Perry, Australia's biggest star in cricket, without a doubt. That was the best of the Breakfast Club. If you want to hear the full interviews again, go straight to the website, rsn.net.au.